Welcome and thank you for standing by. All guests will remain in a listen-only mode for the duration of today's conference. At the end of this presentation, we will hold a Q&A session, and if you'd like to ask a question at that time, you may press star then one. This conference is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Dr. Tracy Kimbrough. Thank you. You may begin.
Good afternoon and welcome to the webinar for the Transdisciplinary Research and Principles of Data Science Program, or TRIPONS. I'm Tracy Kimbrough. I'm a Program Director in the Computing and Communication Foundations Division. And here's the agenda for today's webinar. The SCIES and NPS Assistant Directors, Jim Carosse and Fleming Krim, will give opening remarks, in the opposite order, actually. The Division Directors for CCF and DMS, Rao Kosaraju and Michael Vogelius, are also on hand. We're all very excited about this program. Next, Nandini Kannan, Program Director in the Division of Mathematical Sciences, will give an overview of the program. Then I'll go over some specific things that you'll need to pay attention to submit a proposal, including both administrative details and the criteria that will be used to evaluate the proposals. And finally, Jack Snowy, Chris Stark, and Chaitin Baru will also be on hand to take questions. And with that, I'll let Fleming give you his opening remarks, and then Jim.
Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for coming to this webinar. I'm Fleming Krim. I'm the Assistant Director of the National Science Foundation for Mathematical and Physical Sciences. And Jim and I were just agreeing that we aren't going to take too long doing this because we think you have more interesting things to do than listen to us. The main thing I want to say is that we are really enthusiastic about this idea. And I'm particularly enthusiastic about the way this idea evolved. This is the result of a workshop designed to bring together computer scientists, mathematicians, statisticians. We think this is a real sweet spot in which to be operating. And TRIPONS is going to, we hope, really propel this kind of a collaboration forward. So thank you for participating. I appreciate your enthusiasm about it, and I'm going to let Jim say a few words.
Okay, hi. I'm Jim Carosa. I'm the Assistant Director for the Director of Computer Information Science and Engineering, and I'm going to be brief, too. I just wanted to say hi to folks, to welcome you to the webinar, and to say, similarly to Fleming, how excited we are to be launching TRIPONS. And, again, this is a very much a bottom-up community effort here, the workshop that Fleming was talking about. I think, actually, this notion of having multiple phases sort of came out of the workshop itself to try to find these areas of stickiness and collaboration between the different areas. And so, once again, I think it's really a wonderful thing that, the bottom-up, researcher-driven type of programs that we're able to do, especially one that's joint between MPS and SCIES. I think we're expecting really great things here. So, again, welcome to everybody. I also want to thank, we've got a dozen people here from the National Science Foundation sitting around the table, and everybody here played a really important role in getting this started. So you've got support from the assistant directors, the division directors. We've got, it looks like, eight or so program directors here, senior scientists. So there are a lot of people involved and a lot of people here at NSF who are really excited about that. So I think with that, I'll turn things over to Rao and Michael.
I think there was nothing. Tracy or...
Okay. I'm going to turn things over to Nandini.
Great. Thank you. So we'd like to thank Jim and Fleming for their opening remarks, and Tracy and I will just go over a few slides, and then we'll leave plenty of time for questions at the end. So my name is Nandini Kannan. I'm a program director in the Division of Mathematical Sciences, and what I'll do is give you a brief overview of the TRIPONS program. As both Jim and Fleming said, this is a joint effort between two directorates, the Computer Science Directorate and the Mathematical and Physical Sciences Directorate, and two divisions, the Computing and Communication Foundations Division in SCIES and the Division of Mathematical Sciences in the MPS Directorate. This program supports one of the NSF Director's 10 Big Ideas. This is a document that was put up by Director Franz Cordova and her team called Harnessing Data for 21st Century Science and Engineering. And TRIPONS is one of many NSF programs that will support the area of data science, and we'll briefly touch on some of the others later. In particular, TRIPOD has been designed to focus on algorithmic, mathematical, and statistical foundations of data science. The need for TRIPOD, both Fleming and Jim talked about the workshop. So in May of this year, we sponsored a workshop on the theoretical foundations of data science. It brought together researchers from the three different communities, computer science, mathematics, and statistics. And the idea was to look at what communities should be doing around principles of data science and how the National Science Foundation might support such activities. The workshop produced a report. You can find a link to the report in the TRIPOD solicitation, and I hope all of you have had a chance to read the report carefully. One of the key conclusions of this report, they said the theoretical foundations are important throughout the data lifecycle, they're critical for data science, and the report said this is an interdisciplinary topic that will need multiple communities to collaborate across the traditional boundaries. In response to this workshop and the NSF director's 10 big ideas, CCF and DMS got together to develop this joint solicitation. The aim is to bring together and integrate all these three communities, mathematics, statistics, and theoretical computer science. You'll notice in the solicitation we list the communities in different orders. This is deliberate. We want the communities to realize this is not to say one is more or less important than any of the others, and we ask that all three be involved in any TRIPOD proposal you submit. The goal of the program is to bring together communities around center-like activities that integrate research, education, and training. We're going to call these institutes, not centers, because the idea of a center has a very specific definition at NSF. The current solicitation is for what we will define as phase one proposals. During phase one, we intend to support 8 to 10 smaller institutes. The level of funding is approximately $500,000 per year for 3 years, and all of this, of course, is dependent on availability of funds. Again, we want to emphasize we expect all three communities to be involved, and we require proposals to address both the research and training aspects of an institute around the principles of data science. The idea for phase one is to allow teams, these multidisciplinary teams, to develop capacity for large-scale operations. We want teams to demonstrate the ability to scale activities for full institute operations, and we want you to look at novel approaches. We expect that we'll see some of the usual activities associated with research and training centers, but we want to encourage you to think outside of the box as well. We're also encouraging TRIPOD institutes to engage and take advantage of existing NSF investments in this area. These include the big data hubs and spokes funded by SCIES, the DMS Mathematical Sciences Institute, and the software institutes that are supported by the NSF program called SI Squared. And toward the end of the 3 years of phase one, we're anticipating a second competition. Obviously, we'll call this phase two, and this is subject to availability of funds in the year 2020 and beyond. For phase two, our idea is to select a smaller number of teams from among the phase one institutes. These phase two awards are anticipated to be larger awards over a longer period of time, and the rule that we're using is at least one PI or co-PI of a phase two proposal must have been a PI or co-PI on a phase one proposal. We're going to encourage a lot of interaction among phase one institutes, and at some point we'll ask phase one institutes to consider joining forces to form larger teams for the anticipated phase two competition. Now I'll talk a little bit about the types of activities we expect Tripod's institutes to engage in. We again want to emphasize we want to see the three communities come together to overcome barrier collaboration. One of the barriers was the use of different terminology and formalisms for overlapping concepts and methods developed by different communities. We want to look at the applicability of foundational research that is critical, and we also want you to look at connections to domain scientists and industry. Foundational aspects of data science education are also an important consideration, but again, these should be developed to include not just computational issues, but also validation, ethical behavior, and interdisciplinary communication. Finally, some of the most important issues revolve around not just how to analyze a clean and complete data set, but looking at the entire pipeline from dynamic acquisition of noisy data through the decision-making process to data archival or retirement. The Transdisciplinary Foundations of Data Science, the workshop, a report includes a number of possible research areas for the communities. These are listed in the solicitation and also on this slide. However, we want to emphasize these are just examples suggested by the participants of that workshop. These are in no way exhaustive and should simply serve as examples to get your imagination started. Again, we're going to emphasize this again. All three communities, mathematics, computer science, and statistics, must be integrally involved and engaged in these activities. I'm going to hand this over back to Tracy, who's going to talk about the proposal preparation and review criteria.
Thanks, Nandini. So, of course, all proposals are subject to the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, or PAPPG. You may hear this referred to as the PAP Guide. For this program, we're requiring letters of intent to give us some advance warning of the proposals that are going to come a bit later. And what we're really after here is a brief summary of what you propose to do, and importantly, lists of involved personnel so we can get started on planning the review process. These letters are due January 19th. The full proposals are due March 15th, and in addition to the usual 15-page project description, we're asking for a collaboration and evaluation plan up to 5 pages. This document should describe the co-PIs and their expertise, along with their plans for collaborating to achieve their objectives and meet the goals of the program. And it should also give clear measures of success for the project, along with plans for evaluating the project against those measures. And I'll give you some details on this as we go here. The main section of the proposal, the project description, should include, among other things, a timeline for the project and should demonstrate how the team is going to gear up for full-scale operations in phase two. And we have a new way for you to submit your collaborations and other affiliations I want to call your attention to. You'll need to enter this information into a spreadsheet, and we'll provide a template for it. Please see the solicitation for details on that. In addition to the standard review criteria, intellectual merit and broader impacts that are used to evaluate all NSF proposals, we've defined several special criteria for this program. Reviewers will be asked to familiarize these and to consider them before evaluating the proposals. And these include the quality of the proposed plan for integrated research and training activities, the project's plans to foster collaboration among the three disciplines, the broad themes of the program that Nandini mentioned previously and which are detailed in the solicitation that you should read very carefully, and the workforce development and educational aspects of the project. Review criteria also include the synergy and transdisciplinary, transdisciplinarity across the three disciplines, the project vision for the emerging field of data science, whether the PI's backgrounds are appropriate and complementary, and whether their roles are clear, and the plans to interact with domain sciences and industry to ensure relevance of the foundational development plan for the project. Proposals will also be evaluated on their plans to develop capacity for full-scale operations in phase two and whether they include clear measures of success, as mentioned previously, for phase one operations, as well as plans to gear up for phase two, along with plans to evaluate success against those measures, thoroughly assess all aspects of the Institute's activities, and feedback those evaluations to ensure the long-term success of the project. Here's contact information for the program director team. This is also available in the solicitation and on the program page, and the solicitation, which of course you should read very carefully. The slides and the transcript will be available on the program page, or is it the event page, Karen? On the event page, the same one where you signed up to participate in the webinar. So don't worry about trying to copy all these down before I advance to the next slide. And thank you for your attention. Now, Jack, Chayton, and Chris are joining us to take questions from the audience. And if the operator could start queuing up the questions on the phone, Jack has a couple of questions to answer while we're waiting.
Somebody had to sit in front of the camera, I guess, and I got the short straw. Yeah, while we're waiting for your questions coming in over the phone, or you can send a chat mail message, or you can afterwards send mail to tripods@nsf and ask us questions that way as well. I just wanted to, a couple of things that come up frequently, I'm sure, is how do we define these three areas? So I work in field A, which may mean my department is in field A, it may be my research work is in field A, or my PhD was in field A, and my co-PIs are working in field B and C. Do we meet the requirements for significant and integral participation by all three of statistics, mathematics, and theoretical computer science communities? And we are in some ways glad that we don't have to decide all of the combinatorial, I mean, many possibilities of asking and answering this question, because we are going to have our panels chosen from members of the community. And so it's up to the proposers to make the argument in their proposals that the team does provide the expertise necessary to meet the program's goals. And the panelists will be giving us advice on their opinion on whether they convinced them that they've satisfied those goals. There are many specific examples of ways that the team could be constituted that will do that. This also says that it's important to have good panels, and so I want to encourage you, when it comes time to send the proposals, to take advantage of the option to suggest panelists. We will take that information seriously. Another question is it necessary to engage in all of the center-like activities listed in the solicitation? And when we get to phase two, it's expected that the phase two projects will involve all of these activities. Phase one is to develop towards phase two. And so, start from your strengths, but look at broadening them. And so we expect, as all NSF proposals are going to have, some aspects of both research and education. The phase one proposals will not necessarily address all of the aspects listed in the phase two solicitation, but they will build toward that capability in phase two. Any other questions, please use the phone lines.
And as a reminder, please press star, then one, if you'd like to ask any questions over the phone at this time.
Do you want to read it?
I can't. Something scrolled up.
Questions on the chat, Karen. Can you
read it? I can read it if it's up there.
Do we have any questions queued up on the phone?
Yes, thank you. Our first question comes from Lori. Ma'am, your line is open.
Yeah, my question is, your first slide on Q&A talked about the computer science community participation being focused, and the question is it really focused just on C theoretical computer science as opposed to practical, real, applied data science.
It's applied, real data science, certainly. Foundational data science, certainly. The practical is going to be a lesser emphasis than the foundational, is the way I would say it. Chapin, would you like to chime in on that as well?
Can you hear me okay? Yes, so I think the emphasis is on foundational. The best way that somebody who is a much more applied person might participate in this may be more as a co-PI or a member of a team that's in some sense keeping the theoretical folks honest, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even when we had the workshop, it was a room full of sort of theory, CS, really algorithmic folks, and maths and stats people, but a lot of the discussions were about the pragmatics, right? Looking at the real data, understanding what the real data does, understanding the real life cycle. But I think that aspect is important, but from that you want to derive the foundational principles. So you still need to have some people there who are interested in deriving those foundational aspects.
Tracy, do you want to add anything?
No, nothing. I'm going
to. Thank you for the question. Next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from TAPS. Your line is open.
Hello. In Michigan State, recently we have launched a new department called Computational Mathematics, Science and Engineering, which kind of cut across through statistics, mathematics, computer science, and few other engineering departments. In this type of situation, do you think that we are in a better situation to tap this funding, or we'll have some kind of disadvantage, advantage, anything?
So we're really looking for the, you know, the content here, and it's not about who you are or what type of department you're in. It's if you're doing the foundational work in for the foundational computer science, mathematics, and statistics, and of course the, you know, PI qualifications are part of the standard merit review criteria. So you need to be qualified to do the work. But what we're looking for is the foundational work. And there's another question about that was sent in under chat related to this.
Reference for
faculty from information systems departments. And it's not about what department you're in. It's about the work that you're proposing, and of course your ability to do it.
And do you need to anything you wanted to add? Or?
No, there's a related question on chat. Is there a preference for existing or former institutes, or is there an equal chance? Anybody can apply. There is no preference to existing departments or existing institutes in data science.
Yeah, and the structure of this as in two phases is, suggests that we're looking for things that it can build to institutes, and we're not trying to fund existing institutes. So.
Okay.
Can I add something to that?
Please.
This is a chat. So, I think we really are looking for things that are integrative across the three disciplines. And I say that because at least some of us have heard questions from the community where I think some institutions have tried to have meetings on campus already around this solicitation and found that really each person wanted to do their own work, and they're trying to see how they could come under this umbrella to continue to do their own work. And hopefully that's not where we end up. I think where we want to end up is how does statistics and computer science really come together with math in developing these new foundations. That would be the sweet spot. Of course, all depends on what comes back from the community.
I hope that answers the question. Can we take the next question, please?
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joaquin. Your line is open.
Thank you. This is Joaquin Cabrera, SUNY Buffalo State. In addition to three disciplines, we have heard of also three type of activities, research, curriculum, and training. And I was wondering, my question is in regard to the research, curriculum, and training balance, and also whether we can incorporate companies. Industry has been one of the big drivers of data science, And in order to do the training, also we would need their collaboration. So I would like to know how many institutions can participate, can industry be part of it, and also the balance among research, curriculum, and training. Thank you.
Okay. Again, there's a lot of choices for that balance. And part of the phased nature of this is to work towards something that can be more balanced in phase two, so things do not have to be completely balanced in phase one. With respect to the companies, we are interested in that, especially in phase two, and one of the things we're discussing for the phase two solicitation is providing matching funds at a reduced level for if institutes can get some company contributions, then NSF will match those at a reduced level. That's still in the works. All of that is subject to funding approval, but that is something that we're interested in, and you will find some of that language in the solicitation about the interest in the practical as well as the foundational. Having said that, this is about the foundations. If you propose something that doesn't look at the foundations, then it probably will not be successful in this competition. I don't know if that answers all of the pieces of that question, if anybody else wants to chime in.
So we did limit the first section of the solicitation, who can submit. It's limited to colleges and universities.
Right.
But we always welcome unpaid collaboration by anyone, including people at private corporations, and you can include the letter of collaboration. There's the restricted format where we ask you just to have them say nothing but I promise to do what you said I would do in the project description. But we certainly welcome that kind of interaction from private corporations or anyone else that wants to participate in the project.
I hope that answers the question, and then maybe we should take the next one.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luke, so your line is open.
Thank you. This is Luke Oding from Auburn University, but you already answered my question on the chat, so thank you very much.
Okay, thanks Luke. Next one, please.
Our next question comes from Juan, so your line is open.
Good afternoon. This is Juan Gutierrez at the University of Georgia. The RFA has vague language related to the application domains and industry, particularly stating that early engagement with these communities and communication has to be clear. Point well taken. You have emphasized the foundational aspect. I understand it. At what point do you want to balance these proposals in regards to the applications that we could include as part of the proposal? That is, are we looking at a 50-50%, 10-90%, 90, of course, in favor of the foundational 10 application? What would be a happy medium?
It's always different. Difficult to answer that with a numerical answer because people will interpret the numbers differently. What is the aim of the proposal? Is it to produce something for the application, or is it to use the application as a way of making sure that you're studying the underlying foundations that are going to be relevant to the application? That's not a very precise answer yet. But, others are nodding in the room. If anybody wants to make that more precise, please go ahead.
So I would say that it's, to the extent that it's necessary to involve the practitioners and get your hands dirty and do implementations and test them out in order to drive the foundations, The focus is really on the foundations, but you can't do it in isolation. You're not going to do the right foundations if you don't have the connections to the real problems. And so whatever extent is necessary to have those real problems driving the right foundational development, that's kind of the right balance point.
Can I jump in? So I agree with those previous things. And I think one way to think about that is, you could write a proposal that imagines a certain set of problems that might occur in the real world and then develop foundations based on that And there's another proposal that actually says we're working with this community, we've looked at this problem, we understand this problem, and therefore here are the foundations that come out of that. And if you've looked at those two proposals, I think the second one would look stronger, right? So that's one way you can think about the role of applications. I don't think this program is trying to make progress on actually solving applications problems. It's actually using the applications to then derive the foundational issues. There are other programs at NSF that do work on applications, but I don't think this would be necessarily the one.
Yeah, and one just on the educational side, if you look around at the many data science programs that are being established, a lot of them are being established in continuing education or something, and they're sort of certificate programs that are much more applied. And so what we're also looking at is encouraging programs that are looking at the foundations there as well. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Alini. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hi. We are trying to get a sense of the number of PIs and co-PIs your a good proposal would have, both in total and within each subgroup. Thank you.
Again, a difficult one to answer because we have things at all different sizes, but, you know, what so Tracy just showed me five. That's Tracy's idea.
No, that's how many they can put in.
they
can put in senior personnel, but they can only have five PRs or co-PRs.
Unless they're doing collaborative proposals, but now we're talking about mechanism. The first thing is, what does your science need? I mean, if you need three or if you need six, two from each area, what is it? What is it that your project needs? And again, we're starting smaller with smaller phase one projects, so they could be smaller teams working towards something that would be larger in phase two. So five is the
limit. That's a mechanical
answer.
You send
in a single proposal, but you can always add senior personnel, and if you're sending in collaborative proposals, you can have many more. But yes, Jason.
I suspect what would be important here is a balance, right? So there are three areas, computer science, math, and stats. We want to, I think ideally a balance among the three would be better than, let's say, you have 10 people from one discipline and one from each of the others. And the other way I would answer this is at this level of funding, we've had the Big Data Hubs program that's recently come out that was actually mentioned in this solicitation. That came in with literally hundreds of collaborators in each, and that was because that was the point of that solicitation, was to demonstrate that you really have large communities that are interested in somehow coming together. That's not necessarily the goal of phase one of Tripods. I think in phase one of Tripods, we really did want to also actually see some research activity, even at the level of funding that you're receiving. And if you want to really do some funding, research activity with grad students or postdocs, it can't be very huge. But at the same time, it also, I don't think, should be skewed. I think a balanced team in whichever way you tend to achieve that would be a good thing.
I hope that answers that question. Let's take another.
So I have a little bit to add to that. So in the Science Expeditions program that has similar scale of funding to what we're proposing, what we're anticipating and hoping that we get to in phase two, there seems to really be a sweet spot, and it's not 10 or 20 institutions, and it's not a single institution, and it's three or four, and you know, maybe a dozen co-PIs altogether at three or four different institutions. Now, working backwards from that, how you over the 3 years of phase one gear up to something like that for phase two, well, that's kind of open, and you know, different approaches might be appropriate, but this is all geared toward these large institutes in phase two, and so I guess that sort of as the end goal, and thinking about where this sweet spot is of three or four institutions and maybe a dozen or so co-PIs is kind of the thing to keep in mind.
Let's take the next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joaquin. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Yes, okay. I'm from Harvey Mudd College. I'm currently teaching mathematics of big data. So I noticed that there are a lot of approaches from probabilistic perspective, not mainly from geometric perspective, like supported by the machine. A lot of them actually can talk from geometric point of view, especially say you can form, say, all the distributions become a statistical manifold. I want to do one research is for trying to build the foundations using geometric perspective to understand the current algorithms for big data, which basically is the machine learning. So I was wondering also, when you said when you have involved the students, the graduate students, postdocs, because I'm at undergraduate college, Harvey Mudd College, but all our students really be able to do, researches. Like last summer, I have 9 research students working on big data.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, all my mathematics industry projects called the clinic, all the projects currently, I'm the director, all the projects are using big data. It's all big data, like a big data, say Southern California gas.
So let me try to answer your question.
Yeah.
Geometry has a special place in my heart as I'm a computational geometer. And so the solicitation talks about some examples of computational topology, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Keep in mind that we're, trying to build toward the phase two institutes. And it may be difficult to run one completely at an undergraduate institution. And so you may want to look at where can you partner with other people that is part of a phase one project rather than trying to do one on your own. But I would encourage you to look around, and you could talk to us, send us email separately if you want some suggestions for connections or something like that. So.
Oh, okay. That's very, very, very appreciated. And thank you so much for establish this program. I'm thrilled because
good.
My background is in differential geometry, but I have a master's degree in computer science, and I have.
Sorry, we're going to have to go take more questions because we have a limited time.
Yeah. So let me ask you, if I wanted to establish a data science program at Harvey Mudd College, this is not a solicitation. I should.
Yeah, let me answer that offline.
I'll send you an email instead. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Karen. Karen, do we have any others queued up?
Yes, thank you. Our next question comes from Kim Patton. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hello, everyone. And my question is about the budget. So there is about $500,000 budget per year, and I'd like to know whether there are any restrictions on the guidelines for the budget distribution. For example, I think the budget can cover summer support of the researchers, students, salary of personnel, and the computer supplies, and organizing workshops, level support.
Criteria for the budget then is in the standard NSF proposals, so please see the PEP guide that was referred to earlier. You can find the links to that online and talk to your sponsored research office. They can help you give you the guidelines rather than providing that information here in the webinar when they have a very limited time.
Thank you.
Question, please, Karen.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stan, so your line is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Stan, go ahead.
Yeah, so a quick question. Is hardware interaction, not for a specific application, but just generally speaking, trying to do algorithmic analysis on hardware, is that precluded in this call? I could not find it in the RFP.
Well, so the things that are listed are examples. If you can make an argument that this is a foundational data science issue, then possibly so. From the brief keywords, it sounds like there are other solicitations that you, something on that nature of algorithms on hardware might be more responsive to other solicitations. If you would send us a two-page description, then we could evaluate it more accurately and maybe give a suggestion. Just over the phone, it's a little difficult to do that.
That's great. Thanks.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from James. Sir, your line is open.
Hi. This is Jim Curry, University of Colorado Boulder. Could someone please say more about outreach to other funded NSF efforts, for example, mass science research institutes, et cetera,
yeah,
during phase one?
Okay. I mean, this program doesn't exist in a vacuum. There's a lot of emphasis on data science, big data, and other things that NSF is doing. And so it is a strength if you can, if there are ways that your science that you're doing can connect to other NSF investments, then that is something that you want to call attention to in your proposal. Beyond that, we're not going to say a whole lot right now because there are so many possibilities, and partly that's why we're doing this in phases, is to allow a bunch of different possibilities to come forward so that we can work towards the community building that we're doing and hope to achieve in and through phase two. I don't know if anybody else wants to add to that.
Well, I think it's related to the industry interaction, you know, if these other organizations have burning foundational questions, you should take advantage of them and go understand what are the problems that they would like you to solve for them.
And I just want to add that in a way, you could think of that as doing things like that as a way of heading towards being a center, right? The center should be outward looking, involve more people, and so on. So in phase one, if there's a math institute or a big data hub or some or any other NSF project that's already out there, perhaps doing something that's of interest to what you want to propose, then it would be great to show that you're able to reach out and do those kind of things. And it sort of prepares you to be a more open center for the next round.
Again, the balance issue comes in. If all you're doing is talking to one of the math institutes, then you're not incorporating all of the significant and integral participation by all of the different disciplines that we're interested in. There are many possibilities here, and so we look forward to seeing what comes in. Hope that answers your question, and I'd like to take the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kevin, so your line is open.
Hi. I think you've already answered my question about the size of the institution. I work at the Naval Academy. It's a four-year-only school. But I think this is also a little bit of a chicken and the egg problem in that in order to get to the point where certain institutions can very actively and research-wise get to phase one and be very active at it, there's got to be an initial startup, you know, to get there. And so I've been, you know, doing the best I can at small levels, but of course that's the real question. So I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. You'll see something come from me, and maybe one of the outcomes is at phase one, since it's a building phase, you might see several of us, and you might say, hey, why don't you guys get together and see what happens?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's one advantage of a letter of intent stage is that we may be able to do something with that. I don't know. I'm a rotator, and so I don't know how much confidentiality causes problems with connecting people, but we'll talk about that.
Well, we plan to have PI meetings and have them, you know,
yeah, once
convene and...
I think he's talking about pre-deciding which ones. Teaming up, helping the teams form for phase one already.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you guys, I'm sure you're aware of the problem is that if you go through the established programs, they've already pretty much gerrymandered towards certain disciplines and boundaries, and they're not as willing to consider interdisciplinary work. It just doesn't work until you hear an explicit, you know, solicitation for it, which is so encouraging from you guys. Thank you.
We do the best we can, we always get many more good proposals than we can possibly fund, but even so, we're trying to do the best we can. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joseph, so your line is open.
Joseph, go ahead.
Hi, I think this question may have been answered a little bit. This is Joe Hogan from Brown. Can you give a sense of the role of domain area scientists in these proposals? Is this just like sort of, you know, background information? Can a particular domain area be featured as one of the projects as long as it has some sort of foundational aspects to it? There's sort of a, you know, you don't want to make these domain area applications toy examples on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's hard to know exactly how to balance that content.
Chapin had a good answer to that earlier when he was talking about the two types of proposals. So I would quibble a bit with your, you know, can a domain be funded if it has some foundational aspects? It's like, no, but can the foundations of a domain be funded and the domain be used to exhibit that these foundations are needed and important? Yes. So, if that hasn't answered your question, or Chapin's earlier response hasn't answered your question, please feel free to send us an email and we'll try to answer that one in more detail in your specific case offline, if you don't mind. Can I go for the next question, please?
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nick, so your line is open.
This is Nick Diefels at Texas A&M. Concerning phase one proposals, is there a sense in which these should be involve multiple academic institutions rather than being based around a single institution which can represent the three disciplines?
The solicitation explicitly says that they can be single or they can be multiple institutions. Again, start with the science and the program that you want to begin, and if you've got the way to form the collaborative team that can build toward an institute within a single university, then more power to you. You can begin that way. So it's whatever the team that you want to put together, whatever makes the most sense, whether that be single or multiple.
Yep, we don't have a preference,
yep.
but we want to see compelling proposals.
Yep. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Jeff, so your line is open.
Yes, hi. Thanks for putting this together. I'm interested in to what extent the institutes, either at the phase one or phase two stage, should tilt toward playing a convening role for researchers in the broad foundational data science community, or whether they're meant more to focus on specific research, foundational research topics that are expertise areas of the PIs at the local institution or the host institutions for the grant?
Yeah, that's a very good question. As a computer scientist, I should probably ask Chris, one of the mathematicians, for their opinion, because sometimes there's, as evidence of the difference between the communities, they tend to work in different ways. I can imagine compelling proposals. We want to make sure that there is some research on the foundations within a proposal. But I can imagine, convening things can be, part of the research as well. Witness Oberwolfach or Dagstuhl or many of the other places that can be. Chris, they can hear you from wherever you're.
Okay. This is Chris Stark from the Division of Math Sciences. Our understanding of the phase one proposals is they probably need to have a good motivating idea, and then the evolution to phase two could well involve outreach and a convening function around that idea and around the challenges. So it may be that you make contact with part of the community in the early stages and grow outwards in part through a convening function or a virtual convening function that could engage with new kinds of data, new kinds of problems, new methods. For example, it may be that the computational engagement, speaking as a mathematician, it could well be that you start with math and stats ideas as the first driver, and then through your computational contacts, you go farther into, say, the HPC community or something like that to engage with the challenges that your idea entails. But I think that all of the working group wants to see ideas laid out clearly in that first round of proposals.
And Dee, do you have anything you want to add?
Right. No, just to add to what Chris said, we want to see ideas around research in phase one, but definitely something in the proposal that talks about building capacity, capability for phase two, which would be full institute. And at that level, we would expect to see all typical institute-like activities, training, education, outreach, community building, you know, workshops, all of the things that typical institute activities that they might take up.
And for not just this, but for everything else, we say that we want you to either be doing these things in phase one or giving us a convincing plan how you're still going to be, even if you're not doing them in phase one, you're going to be ready to do them in phase two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Next question, please.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Stephen, so your line is open.
Hi, this is Stephen Kobarov from the University of Arizona.
Stephen.
A slight refinement of the last question. In the call for proposal, it says, while novel approaches are encouraged, it's anticipated that traditional center-like activities will be common. And then there's a list of workforce development, et cetera. Just to make it very clear, you really expect research proposals with novel research, not just center-like activities and workforce development and education, et cetera.
Yes.
Right.
All five of us said yes.
Thank you.
But I do want to add something. This is not meant to be just a research program. So if it's just a research proposal, there are other venues at NSF, either within DMS or SIES. We want to see this as research leading to other things, integrating the education piece, and then demonstrating capacity.
It should be community building research and looking and forward looking for a larger center. Okay. All right, next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Yang Wu. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Yang Wu Rong from George Washington University. Given your focus on research on foundational questions, would you say that the best students involved with the training would be PhD students and not master's students? I'm asking because a lot of data science programs are more focused on the master's students rather than PhD.
Again, that goes back to what I was saying about, you know, in some places, certificate programs that are being founded as the data science program initially. We don't want to restrict it. I think you're probably right that PhD students are that when you're thinking of a research program, at least myself, I'm usually thinking of PhD students, but it's certainly fine to get master's students involved as well. So I don't know what else to add. Okay, next question. I hope that answers.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, but once again, if you have any questions, please press star, then one.
Do we have some from the chat window?
It hasn't been moving.
Star one if you call in if you want any questions. If you don't have any questions at the moment, but come up with one later, you can always email tripods@nsf.gov. And the transcript, the slides, and the audio for this teleconference, this webinar, will be available on the events page where you registered for the webinar a couple of hours after the webinar completes once we get the audio files from them.
So it looks like there's one that's been answered, but there's one new one on the what can you say about data collection and long-term data management? Mm-hmm. How do you see that fitting in a successful proposal? You want to answer it? I've got an answer. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tracy.
So there are foundational ask questions here, and that's why we have that in the solicitation. That theory doesn't just apply to, you know, finding the fastest algorithm to solve an optimization problem. It applies to all kinds. You know, and we talk about the end-to-end pipeline from acquisition of data to eventual archival or destruction. There are foundational questions in all of these places, and that's what we're getting at with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, rather than just thinking of, I'm going to have an algorithm that's going to crunch some data, well, what's the representation of that data initially? I mean, there are a lot of foundational questions of computational topology was mentioned earlier. There's a bunch of different representations, and then you go from there, and now you have all sorts of questions of how do you get those representations, how do you save those representations, and thinking in that way is one way to come up with additional foundational questions. So Karen is scrolling through the chat to make sure that we've answered the questions there. Are there any other questions on the phone?
Yes, thank you. We do have a question coming in from TAPS. Your line is open.
Oh, hello. I just have a probably answer is known like longer term periods participation by research activities. So does it mean that this proposal also would be expecting some sort of symposium, workshop organization? That is one. And number two, do you allow the investigators from who are non-U.S. institutional, like foreign investigators?
Symposia or something like that is, is one possible center-like activity that brings communities together. And again, we're building toward that in phase two. If it makes sense in phase one, go right ahead and propose to do some of that in phase one, if that's part of your science that you're doing. NSF very rarely supports foreign institutions. There are a number of collaborative arrangements between NSF and other places where NSF will support on its side and the foreign institution will support on its side. You can have foreign collaborators that can send in a letter of collaboration. You can describe how the interaction will be in the proposal, and they just send in a letter saying, if this is funded, I agree to interact. And then they would be getting their funding from their home institution in general. I don't know if there's anything else to add on that.
Okay, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions.
Right. If there are no further questions, we're about at the end of our time. We can take another question if you call in quickly. But again, you can always send us an email to tripods@nsf.gov, and we can try to answer the questions online here.
This one on EBSCOR, is there any advantage to EBSCOR states?
Is there an advantage to EBSCOR states? The usual EBSCOR allows us for proposals from EBSCOR states. We can compete within NSF to get some of the funds from a different program. And so, yes, there is an advantage for EBSCOR in that EBSCOR awards allow us to make a little bit larger program without spending our own program of a budget, but spending some of the EBSCOR budget for those. So there is that advantage. And because we're building capacity, we're trying to establish collaboration. EBSCOR looks for that sort of thing, and so we should be able to make a compelling case internally to NSF once we know that it's from an EBSCOR institution. And if there are no other questions, so let's go.
Yes, we do have one more question coming from Luke, so your line is open.
Thank you for answering my question. I typed it. I didn't realize that you could see it on the typing, on the chat window. So if I understood you correctly, that if the proposal is already competitive, then if it comes from an EBSCOR institution, then there may be other avenues to obtain funding, so it may be more competitive because of that. Is that basically what you said?
Correct. So we can get a fraction of the funding from other parts within NSF if we make the case within NSF, and so that can also often help enlarge the program a little bit and can boost something that is near the borderline to be above the borderline. Yeah. I mean, we look at diversity in a lot of different areas, so looking, even if we don't get that internal funding, we may still go ahead and fund something that is building capacity in an EBSCOR state because we agree that that's a good thing to do.
Thank you.
And And if there are no other questions queued up, then I thank everyone for their participation and remind you that you can find the transcripts and slides and audio on the same site where you registered for the webinar afterwards.